Good afternoon. Today is Thursday, January the 5th, fifth day of the new year. Joining us this afternoon, same old sheriff, Mike Downey. How you doing, buddy?
Good.
How come? Here.
Why am I doing good?
Yeah.
New year, new things going on, you know. It's
You need more challenges?
No. no more challenges.
Yeah, okay.
just things going along well. That's what I need.
Oh, good. So we'll talk about what's going along smoothly and well, and some of the bumps along the road.
You bet.
All right. And we'll see if we can keep him awake also during the break.
All right. Thank you.
We'll be back with Mike Downey.
I'm Jim Mongi, principal of St. Mary's Catholic School and Preschool. Our preschool program is designed to teach and model basic educational and social skills that children will need for success in kindergarten. Students learn about numbers, shapes, and colors. They begin pre-reading and writing. They develop problem-solving and sharing skills. They learn that school is fun. St. Mary's Preschool provides the foundation for a lifetime of learning. Give us a call today at 822-3877, license number 125-401-910.
Good afternoon, KINS News and Information Time. Yeah, it's 4:16. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Mike Downey. But before we do, the quote this afternoon comes from Ambrose Bierce, who said, quote, "To be positive, to be mistaken at the top of one's voice." I guess there's a little, a little definition there going on. So how are things in the cop shop?
Good. You know, it's mid-year for us as far as budgetary issues and that type of thing. So we're seeing how we're doing at the mid-year, and everybody's working. We're continuing to deliver the service, best service we can, and I think we're doing pretty well with that.
And your fan club isn't attacking you right
no,
now?
No.
Okay.
No, well, I'm not getting attacked. Things are going well.
It sounds like a good day to me.
Yeah. No, I'm pretty optimistic. I think, in fact, I just came off a state sheriff's call before I came here, and the governor was actually on the call, and he's optimistic that there are some things in the future that could turn some of the economy around for California, which is good.
And solid or hopes?
Well, a little bit of both.
That's kind of how we got to the spot where you guys got slammed a couple weeks ago, isn't it?
Well, yeah, it could be.
Yeah.
So we're hopeful though that the state's got to turn around eventually, and things got to start looking up, and we just don't know when that's going to happen for sure. I believe that we probably have another rough year, at least one year in the public sector anyway. I think the private sector is probably going to bounce back earlier.
Well, let me ask you something, Mike. With the state budget as it is, if the economy comes back, or when the economy comes back, do you sense that means the public sector is going to suddenly get reinfused with money, or do you see that it's going to pretty much stay where it is, and maybe if there's some sales tax, it goes to one-time like infrastructure investment? And things that don't have those reoccurring costs, rather than doing what the system did for so many decades, it got us to the spot. Well, let's hire up. Let's do this. Let's expand. Yeah. And then when you get the malaise or even a flat, now, oh, woe is us, and we're right back in the same boat.
Well, I think to me, the way things have been the last few years, what I equate a good year to or things getting better is basically stability. You know, that's what we're looking for, is stability within within county government and state government, to be quite frank about it. Stability is really a key for us. You want to sit here and say things can't get much worse. At least we hope.
Oh yeah, they can.
Well, sure they can. But I'm optimistic that they won't. If we can stay status quo the way we are now, I feel pretty confident that we can ride out the next year and still deliver service and still do a pretty good job based upon what we have to spend. But again, it's still tight. But the stability thing is key for us to show that that funding source stays stable.
How are you as far as your infrastructure, with the computers and with the jail and a lot of the stuff that got bucks thrown at it 5 to 10, 15 years ago? Now we're starting to come up on that recycle.
Right, and that's an interesting point. As we look at back at the last couple of budget years, this last year we fought tooth and nail to keep people, to keep personnel in place, and with the help of the Board of Supervisors and the CAO and some work on the budget, we were able to do that. But on the other side, we had to give up a few things, and that is being able to sustain those things you just talked about, our infrastructure. There are things that we had to forego to keep bodies in place that this next year I've decided we need to, you know, really take care of. So as I'm preparing my budget for the next year for 12-13, I'm going to be looking at those issues. What are the infrastructure issues? We have a jail that, you know, is 15 plus years old now that has things that need to be dealt with. We have you know, just our cars and our beans and our bullets and our radios and all those things that need to be dealt with. So we took care of people, and we got to take care of things also. So that's what we're going to be looking at.
And certain people who are things.
Yes.
Or who have things. Yes. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 421. We'll be back with more from Mike Downey.
Hi, this is Eric from Northwood Chevrolet Hyundai. You know, I think a lot of people forget that we have a great selection of used cars available. We might not have the inventory that some of the larger dealerships do, but I know our quality used cars stack up against anybody else's in the county. Plus the fact, if we don't have something on our lot, come on in, see us, and we can probably find it for you. We have a quality selection of some very nice used cars, what most people were looking for. But again, if we don't have it on our lot, we can probably find it for you at Northwood Chevrolet Hyundai.
Hi, my name is Mark Diaz from Northwood Hyundai, and I invite you to come down. We're open from 8:30 in the morning till 6 o'clock at night for your shopping convenience. Closed Sundays to be with family. And as my dad used to say, don't bring much money, you won't need it. That's Northwood Hyundai, 7th and D, Eureka.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 424. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Humboldt County Sheriff Mike Downey. Mike, this situation, they're shooting, I guess. It's not a situation, a shooting. On the riverbed of the Eel River at Fernbridge. Mm-hmm. When I heard the story earlier this week, I thought, okay, this is weird. I mean, somebody's sleeping this time of the year outside. Okay, that doesn't make any sense. Particularly when you consider where the river normally is this time of the year. It's not like it's a planned excursion, right?
Okay. Right.
I was talking, sharing it with Stefan, our youngest, who's back in Nebraska now. And he said, wait a minute. Guy heard gunshots and he starts running? Rather than wondering, gee, that's interesting. What's going on? If he picked it up, that kind of reconfirmed my thoughts.
Right.
This just, is it as weird as it sounds?
Yeah, it doesn't, you know, a lot of it doesn't really make a lot of sense. In fact, from what I understand from our detectives, we have a non-cooperative victim now in this case. We see a lot of these things happen where it's reported one way, evidence tends to bring light that things may not be as reported. And then as you press the reporting party, they become a little bit more uncooperative. So I'm not here to say that it didn't happen that way, but it just doesn't add up. So our investigation is continuing into it. And it's one of those things where where a victim comes uncooperative, you may never find out exactly what happened. But you do the best you can with what you have.
Well, and how far do you push? I mean, nobody died.
Right.
Okay. The guy that got hurt apparently didn't get hurt badly enough to worry about it. Okay. The community at large, yeah, we're at risk because something mm-hmm. weird's going on, but one more straw on the right. on the camel's back. Okay, well, if he's not that excited about it and it doesn't really add up to too much, okay, somebody got shot from somebody and they don't care to press it. And
well, the sad thing about it, or the concerning thing about it, is people that live in the area, other people that live in Fernbridge or in that general area.
Yeah, neighborhood.
The neighborhood. Yeah. Now they have that question in their mind. Am I safe in my home? Am I safe in my community? You know, and if someone comes along with a story that's not quite, the way it happened, and it tends to lead people to believe that my community is not safe, then you have a whole another dynamic added into this equation that you have to then deal with also. And we have had to deal with a few people, and now we're saying, my community is not safe. But the evidence is tending to lead us to believe that it didn't exactly happen the way that's been reported, and there may not be a lot of validity to it. So you have to try and sort that out.
The river bar is always been kind of curious for me. I mean, it's not like we go to Ferndale daily, mm-hmm. so, but we're certainly regulars there. See the guys roaring up and down with the ATVs, roaring up and down with the trucks, parties on the,
right.
It's an area that's used.
Mm-hmm.
Is it being used legally? Are those legal, permissible uses?
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah, they are. And, let's get back to the shooting incident. We respond to what we call prom shootings all the time in different parts of the county because there's no shooting ordinance. Promiscuous shootings.
Oh, a prom shooting. Yeah. Well, I've heard of a prom kegger, a prom party. I haven't heard of prom shooting. So
we respond to those all the time. And our response to that is our deputies go out. They contact those that are shooting. They verify that they're shooting in a safe manner. And if they are, we walk away from that.
Like target shooting in the woods.
Kind of thing. And there's a lot of that goes on, especially down that river bar area. And if they're not violating the law, there's really not much we can do other than just to remind them, you have a responsibility to be aware of people around you.
Don't shoot towards houses.
Don't shoot towards houses. Shoot into a bank. Make sure that you can identify the area that your rounds are going, that type of thing. So, we handle a lot of calls like that every year.
So it's not that abnormal on a routine basis, but you don't get that many events like the shooting on an annual basis.
No.
Why Fernbridge?
Why did it happen there?
Yeah. Or does that start getting into thin ice stuff?
Yeah, I can't answer that. I wouldn't be able to put my finger on the pulse.
It just seems like
a
curious place.
Yeah.
Rather than some of the others that we see on or hear about on a far more regular basis within the county.
Like I say, we're checking to see just how accurate, all that information was as far as location and how it happened, that type of thing.
I guess I can't say not to think that it's unrelated because it is in my head already. How violent is the drug culture in Humboldt County?
Well, having watched it for the last 25, 26 years, I'd say that as generations come into that culture, old saying about one generation does in moderation, next does in excess, I would say that you have seen an increase in violence in that stream of things, sure.
Do you ever feel comfortable with the saying that marijuana is a non-violent drug?
It depends on the context. I think there has been evidence to show that there is some validity to the medical portion of it. But
dot, dot, dot.
Yeah.
KINS, News and Information Time. It's 4:31.
Now a minute of sunshine for Humboldt. We think of the Coast Guard as being gallant lifesavers, and they are. However, there's another side of the Coast Guard, faceless bureaucrats far away. 3 years ago, one wrote to the Humboldt County Fair Association to say they wanted back the Mendocino Lighthouse lens that's been atop the county fair's main entrance for 63 years. The fair offered to build a new building for the lens. A citizen group, Save Our Lens, began to raise money. Then the Ferndale Museum offered to give the lens a new home. Most letters to the Coast Guard have gone unanswered. 2 weeks ago, though, in an undated letter, the Coast Guard warned Ferndale it would soon send a Lempus to begin removing the lens. They didn't say when he'd arrive or give his name, but we think it's Grinch. In Rome 2,000 years ago, the famous orator Cicero spoke of the arrogance of officialdom. If he were here today, he'd put those Coast Guard bureaucrats in that category. Sunshine for Humboldt is a nonprofit civic association dedicated to the people and places that make this a good place to live.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 4:35. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Humboldt County Sheriff Mike Downey. Mike, before the break, we were talking a little bit about the culture around marijuana mm-hmm. and some of the impacts that you guys see directly
right.
and second and third and tertiary impacts. When this afternoon you were talking with the governor and the other sheriffs on the conference call, do these folks understand? Do they know, do they appreciate, are they even aware of what Humboldt, Mendocino, and to a certain extent, Delmarva County, Trinity County certainly,
mm-hmm.
are dealing with in connection to the drug culture that has been allowed or
no.
permitted or maybe even encouraged
no,
by
parts of the
state? No,
they don't. They don't understand it. You know, I had a meeting back in August, county officials and other people we met with, Mike Thompson. And we dealt with this issue, the marijuana issue, and what's going on in the hills around us. And Mike Thompson said on the national level, he said his constituent, his colleagues from the Midwest, they have no idea. Other parts of the country, they think it's just, as you said, some old hippies growing some dope, no big deal. And when he takes pictures back to Washington with him from what's going on here, they all look at it like, wow, this is quite an industry, you know. We had no idea. I met with Melinda Haig, the U.S. attorney in San Francisco, back in November, and took a presentation to her, a PowerPoint presentation, and some other people at that level, and we just to show them what we're dealing with here. They had no idea. They're somewhat shocked and unable to really respond to that, that marijuana has become so prevalent here. And not just the growing of marijuana itself, but the land use issues that are going on here are immense. We have illegal pads being put out there, illegal roads, culverts put in where they shouldn't be put in. You know, they talk about the logging industry and how it has hurt the watershed. You know, the marijuana industry is doing the same thing. There's people out there that are true. There are, let me qualify that a little bit. There are people that are residents of Humboldt County that have a love for nature and a love for their surroundings and are that would take the opportunity to make sure that those kinds of damage is not being done to the watershed or to the environment. But then we have the gold rush, the entrepreneurs who are coming into our county in droves to grow marijuana and to get their piece of the pie. They could care less. They're going to be here for a season. They're gone, and they're the ones that are doing the most harm to the county itself.
Are there that many, Mike, that come in for one grow season, or are
well,
they here for a couple of years?
Could be for a couple of years, sure.
That's my sense too. Is it might be a 5 year, and mm-hmm. then they'll be able to bankroll enough, and then. Right. You go buy an island or do whatever they want to do.
But there are people also that I believe that have staked out a living here in the county and has decided to stay, and the economy has taken a turn for the worse, and they're looking for any way to sustain themselves. And I think some of those folks have turned to larger production of marijuana on a bigger scale.
When you run into those scenarios where it's the larger scale, what do your folks, whether it's Drug Task Force or just one of you guys is driving down the road and sees something, what's reaction? What do they do? What should they do? What's safe? What isn't? When do you know that, uh-oh, and you're in trouble?
Right. Well, you know, the sheriff's office is probably the best equipped in the county to deal with that in conjunction with the Drug Task Force. Because you know we've been dealing with it for years, we know how to investigate those types of operations and how to proceed with a successful prosecution once it goes to the DA, district attorney. So we're able to deal with that. But when you run into those, most of our deputies are astute enough to say we need to get some extra help in here. We need to get some people in here to know what they're doing. To deal with this, we try to get other county agencies involved that might deal with environmental health, public health issues, that type of thing. We try to broaden the scope as to what the impact is to the area that we're dealing with for each situation.
If you had to compare the environmental degradation, marijuana growing in Humboldt County in total versus meth manufacturing in total, what causes more environmental damage?
I think clearly if we had methamphetamine being produced at the
not at the same level.
Okay.
Today's production,
I would say today because the number of meth manufacturing laboratories that we find are very small. I'm not saying they're not there. I think they become smaller, easier to conceal. But I would say the most harm to the environment we're seeing right now is truly that marijuana industry. Black plastic pipe, fertilizers and potting soils and those type of things being introduced into watersheds, pesticides, things to take care of, rodent control, people shooting and killing deer and other types of animals that could be harmful to their grow. So I think there's a much bigger impact to the environment on the marijuana and in our county than methamphetamine.
Are you surprised then that you don't have a lot of the environmentalists going after that community and saying, do it right, do it better, do it smart, protest, as up in arms as so many groups are in Humboldt County about things that are much more narrow in scope, you'd think that they would be excited about this.
It's an awareness. We have a hidden industry here. You get behind a locked gate and you have 400 or 500 acres and you're within the confines of that 400 or 500 acres. Most people in this county probably do not know what's going on the hillsides here. I believe that. I'm not saying everyone's blind to that. I think everyone knows marijuana is grown in Humboldt County and probably quite a bit of it. But to actually be able to touch it and feel it and know exactly what's being done to the environment, I think most people really don't know. They really don't have a clear grasp of how bad it is and how bad it's becoming.
And a trend that's continuing to expand.
Yes.
KINS, News and Information Times, 442. We'll be back with more from Mike Downey.
The flame of learning is lit daily at St. Bernard's.
Hi, this is Craig Brown, Dean of Students and Campus Ministry at St. Bernard's Catholic School. We're praying in these days how we can create an even more definite presence of Christ in the world around us. We pray we all have an opportunity to stop the rush of this time of year to give profound thanks for the many blessings our Lord has showered on us.
St. Bernard's High School and Elementary School, making a difference in lives for today and tomorrow.
Good afternoon, KINS News and Information Times, 4:46. We're back talking shop this afternoon with Mike Downey. Mike, some of the different challenges that are out there are surprises, like the shooting, like some of the drug things that you fall upon. Others are, they're almost legacy. You know, this Occupy thing, and I know it's Merle's game, and you guys don't have to worry about it, except now it's getting curious because now they're camping on your deck, on your front porch, on your it, the game is changing a little bit.
Yeah, it is. You know, we had a meeting regarding that today with the city and the county, and you know, I mean, let's be honest about this. The occupier, the Occupy focus left about a month and a half ago. I don't see, when I walk through there, people protesting Wall Street or any of that type of thing. I see people that are homeless, that are camping there. In fact, we have reason to believe, based upon what we've been hearing, they're being paid to be there. I have people that just want to complain about whatever they can complain about. You look at the signs down there, and it's a myriad of issues, a myriad of causes. I think that they're being disingenuous as far as hiding behind the Occupy movement, when I don't believe that's what it's about at all anymore. It's just a way of...
And does that matter?
Well, I mean, it matters from the pluralistic view that they came in with, was, you know, I mean, purely we're here because we're protesting the 1%. We're the 99. I don't even see 99 being pushed down there anymore like we did before. It's become more than that. It's become, I'm not even sure. You don't hear it on the national news anymore, or even the state news. I'm not even sure what's going on in other cities anymore. What are we hearing about New York? What are we hearing about Wall Street?
Doesn't Oakland still have?
I believe so. LA. Yeah. I don't know if LA still has an issue going on there, but we have an issue here. But it's not an organized. It's, for one thing, it's not organized. You cannot find anyone who's necessarily in charge or who's the spokesperson.
Isn't this similar, Mike, to what Dave Tyson had at the city in his parking lot?
Right,
a year and a half or 2 years ago, and correct. it became a homeless camp. It was somewhere to hang out that wasn't within the trees, and you didn't have some of the problems there. And then the demands start, and things start going a little squirrely.
Mm-hmm.
Is that kind of where it is?
Yeah, we discussed that today also, and that it's very.
I was not there.
Mm-hmm.
Just to be clear,
it's very much. That's we're looking at the same thing, but now it's. We're in our third, going on fourth month of this or more, and there is no end in sight, per se.
Why would they want to move?
Well, yeah, and now we do continually get complaints from people, from number one, employees at the courthouse, people coming to visit the courthouse with legitimate business, people walking down the street to say they're being harassed as they're walking down the street. We have unsanitary things being done in and around the courthouse. It has truly become more than it was ever meant to be, I believe, by those who started this months ago.
So is it time?
Time?
Yeah.
Time to move on?
Time to clear the decks, clean the decks?
Well, you know, and we have systematically done that as far as the camping issue. We've dealt with the camping issue. You can't camp here. You can't sleep here.
It's not... I would suggest the community does not want them hanging out in front of their courthouse.
Right. I mean, everyone has a right to freedom of speech. Let's not deviate from that. But one thing we talked about today, and there's no ordinances necessarily on the county level, but there should be a way of regulating some type of use permit to do this kind of activity.
Thanks for coming by.
Thank you.
We've been talking shop with Mike Downey. Join us tomorrow afternoon for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out and make it a good day. Hug someone you love. See you tomorrow.